Good morning and welcome to another Morning Magical. Today's a very different kind of discussion because Barbara and I got into talking about how anniversaries affect us, seasonal changes, birthdays, all kinds of occasions that we remember throughout our lives. If this is a season for you in which you have memory of certain significant events, you're going to recall the events themselves, of course, but you're going to also recall the emotions that are surrounding them and how that all affects us today. Anyway, we're going to get into all of that. And so here's the discussion. Thanks for listening.
That family issue that I've been dealing with, a member of the immediate family, that I've been dealing with for all these years, and I never realized what you were talking about, what you've always talked to patients about and clients, that it's an anniversary. When they get into trouble physically, it's because emotionally, it's what anniversary is this? What is this the anniversary of, the birthday of, the...
Yep.
Because it has a power that normally you don't even think about the person. It was the power of her 50th birthday.
Yep.
That had such a power that's never there the rest of the year. I don't even think about her.
Right.
So I have a daughter named Michaela that I've dealt with an issue on for 30 years.
Yep.
An estrangement issue with her. She decided when she met her husband, she didn't care for her mother anymore. All right. So it was just her 50th birthday, and she came to the forefront. So Tom and I processed through how to handle her 50th birthday, what I should do, send a card, make a call, whatever. And then I realized that you always talk to patients about when you're working on them and they can't get a breakthrough or something comes up just out of the blue, a stratagem or whatever. Is it the anniversary, a birthday? What did somebody die on this day or this season, this time of year?
Yeah.
And I realized that it had such a different power because of all the occasions that locked it into that date. All of her birthdays. Mm-hmm. It is a yearly reminder that 50 years ago I gave birth to her and the path that it took. But thank God for the victory. But I realized that what you've been telling patients is so true because where I never think about her, I raised them, give them roots, give them wings. So I didn't raise them to play that mommy grandma thing anyway, which is fine with me.
Well, in a few days, it's going to be my son's birthday. Well, there's all sorts of memory around that. So when seasons change, even, the body remembers all those same factors. The air quality, the colors outside that are somewhat different, temperatures. All of that goes into memory. Every sensory stimulus goes into memory so that the body will automatically accommodate for it. But where there are significant events within that seasonal shift or within that season, everybody knows what this is like. Your mind begins to recall those events that are around the same time of year. And I knew someone who said every year, I get bronchitis. Every year around whatever it was, February 1st or something. And she did. Now, there's no magic to that date. But that was a certainty in her mind. She knew that was going to happen every year. And it did without fail. And this was long before I knew anything to do differently. When my office was in New England and it began to be, you know, we're talking late September here, as soon as daylight savings or standard time kicked in, whenever the clocks changed. And now dusk was, you know, late afternoon, 4 o'clock.
Oh, man.
And it got earlier till December, 3 o'clock. Literally, dusk started falling. Yeah, dusk started falling around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I thought early on in my experience there, I thought, this isn't going to work. People were complaining about, quote unquote, seasonal affective disorder. And I heard that. And I thought, well, after I'd finished laughing, I thought, this is silly. Everybody who lives here knows what's going to happen. This is going to happen every year. And it's a long winter. We all get this. So what do we do differently? And that's when I started the day the clocks changed by November 1st. I was beginning the countdown, what I called it's the countdown to spring. You know how many days it is till spring now? And of course, nobody had the faintest clue how many days there were to spring because they're thinking sometime March, April. if we're lucky. And I said, no, it's however many days, from November 1st to December 22nd, say 52 days, till spring. They said, what? That can't be right. I said, sure it is. Come December 22nd, when everybody, when you might think it'd be the first day of winter, that's not true. It's the first day of spring. Do you know why? By then I had their attention. No, why? Because from then on we get a minute more daylight every day. And that's what matters around here. And so I'd give them the countdown to spring. And then pretty soon, by the second, well, maybe even by the first year, late in the count, they'd come in and ask me how many days. They weren't counting, but I was. I did it for myself. And then on December 22nd, when everybody's, you know, we're all huddled in now, mm-hmm. ensconced for a long ride, kind of like bears in their dens, I got out my brightest shirt and celebrated the first day of spring. Everybody who came in, welcome to spring.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then I started a countdown probably after the first of the year. Sometime I started a countdown to calendar spring. And I said, now look, we're a week into this. Look how much we had 6 minutes more of daylight. It's just a matter of time before the snow melts and the flowers start coming up. It's going to happen. So, you know, you look ahead. I don't know why this is important today, but you look ahead to what you look forward to. We'll do that in advance. The calendar's just, it's like a watch. It's not that important. Your mentality is what's important. So going back to what you're saying is we were dealing with an anniversary. You were dealing with an anniversary. I'm going to be dealing with an anniversary.
Birthdays. I was dealing with a birthday.
That's what I meant. An anniversary is any point in the calendar that something significant happens or has happened. And it's just how the brain works. It's how memory works. Because all it does is survive. So it looks for anything that is similar to events at the same time to see how it needs to prepare itself, how it needs to defend, how it can survive this. I know it sounds very odd, but it has happened. We were working with somebody not too many weeks ago, and all of a sudden I thought, is this an anniversary of something? And that person remembered it was. Mm-hmm. So I thought so. You act like you're in kind of a time warp here, because there's no other reason for this to be happening right now. So anyway, your body physically responds to every change around it seasonally. We're just talking seasonal changes. And any events that happened around those same times, the memory is just accentuated. Especially if it was something unpleasant, you know, something that was stressful. The memory is accentuated. I don't know why we got into all that.
Well, maybe with fall coming, maybe other people might recognize, like when we moved, and Claudia and I moved all the Christmas boxes in the little garage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, will I ever use Christmas stuff again? Because we don't really celebrate Christmas. We don't add anything to it being Christ's birthday.
Yeah.
So it just seems like whether it's Michaela's birthday or your son's birthday or holidays or whatever, you're building upon that data bank of all the experiences of that occasion you've had.
Yes.
So that you kind of have to, so you have this whole data bank to kind of have to course correct or sort through. It was like, wait, we're not one big happy family with the biologicals anymore.
Yeah.
Because time and the call in our lives have sorted all that out.
Yeah. You know, everybody knows what Thanksgiving feels like.
Mm.
Every memory you have about the smells and the tastes and the just the atmosphere, the ambiance, if you will, the lighting, the everything about Thanksgiving, you remember it every Thanksgiving. Same thing at Christmas. I began to notice, maybe the second or third year in my practice, that the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas was so much more stressful on people than any other time of year. And I realized it was because of all the family interactions and then all of the unspoken and virtually unconscious obligations that people were burdened by. The shopping for presents was huge. Question would always arise, have you got your Christmas shopping done?
I love it when people in stores ask me that. I don't buy any. It's Jesus' birthday.
Yeah.
None of those. I don't know of a person who has a birthday on December 25th. Besides, any game's over when somebody quits playing, and no one can make any of us play stupid games without our permission. So are you spending money you don't have, time you don't have, to buy presents for people just because they're going to give you one? What a crazy paradigm.
Yeah, it really is.
And then
is.
All you have to do is don't buy presents. I told my children about my grandchildren, I'm not doing this Christmas thing anymore. It's Jesus' birthday, because the kids, when they grew up, when I had the revelation that Santa Claus is a lie sent to take away from my son's birth, when God told me that, it's like, no, that's over. So my kids knew that, but I got suckered into all these little grandchildren as they came along. And Christmas was like, oh, no. It's Jesus' birthday. Not doing that anymore. And how freeing it is not to add anything to that. Not to have to go get a tree. Jeremiah talks about that. They're making an idol and they put gold on it and they bow down to it. It's just incredible being free.
But the freedom that you're talking about, and I totally agree with you, but that freedom that you're talking about, it is sometimes hard fought. It's a hard-won freedom because you are fighting against the inertia of decades of observing those kinds of seasons traditionally. Our first Christmas together was the first time I didn't buy any presents for any member of the family. And I told him, I said, don't buy presents. I'm not buying presents. It is such an ingrained and entrenched tradition that you don't automatically think to do differently. And I can even, when I'm talking to you about it, I love the freedom, but I can feel inside me when that season rapidly approaches. And when you're into Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, to do something completely other than virtually everybody else is, feels so odd at first. But we've been now married 12 years, and I'm so relieved of all of that. But I remember when the season comes around and when those days approach, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, my brain is full of memory.
And the expectation. Who am I going to buy what for? Do you have your Christmas list? Isn't it so cool? And this is what I told people my last Christmas of having barber's locker rooms. When they'd come in, I've got to do this. I've got, no, you don't. No, you don't. Just don't buy presents and see who buys them for you the next year. But I told people, you know, in my life, when I had that revelation, because then when it's a word of God and Him showing you how that looks to Him, who's thinking of my son's birthday? Instead, they're surrounded by all these presents.
Well, there'll be a hiatus on Christmas Eve when they will be thinking about his birthday. If you were part of my family growing up, Christmas Eve was one of the most wonderful occasions because there was music and candlelight and the scent of evergreen, of pine, wreaths all over that big old stone church.
Oh, y'all would go and to the church on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes. The candlelight service at Epworth Euclid Church was a huge event. It was looked for. Some years they had an orchestra, a small orchestra. Yeah, it was a big, big deal. And it was a big deal for everybody going. It was one of the sweetest, warmest, coziest times to be in that church.
Huh.
And it was full of music and scripture reading. And so that was something that we actually looked forward to. It was the only time, probably, in my whole experience, that may be Easter Sunday, that I actually looked forward to going to church. But that lasted, I don't know, a couple hours. And then we were on our way home to do whatever we did for Christmas Eve. Some years we'd open presents, and some years we'd just have a little light supper and go to bed. Because Lord knows you want to go to bed early so Santa Claus can come. You know, and that whole mystique. So when Christmas Eve approaches, and when we're in Christmas Eve, my brain will remember all of that. And my body will feel it. It happens every year. It happens less dramatically every year, because a lot of times now I don't even know what day it is of the week. So there are all of these traditions. Whatever traditions anybody has, especially around holidays, you're going to remember it all. You remember the feeling of all of it. And this is why I'm saying going free from that is not always, it's simple, but not easy. Because most of the time we're driven by memory. It's called autopilot. We're running on memory more than 99% of the time. Now that's science talking, I'm not making that up. So making a conscious decision to come out from under these traditions is not easy. Because there's so much emotion connected to them, and that's the problem. The calendar is neutral. It doesn't say anything. But your emotions that are connected to different dates on that calendar, that's another matter. And to break from that is, as I said, simple, but it is not easy. You can do it, and I highly recommend it. Because we did it, and to be free from all that obligation, oh my goodness, that is so nice. You could think of this time of year throughout your life, and your memory will recall events, how those seasons, how this season feels physically and emotionally because they're connected. And don't be surprised if you get a little wistful. This is the time of year when so much happens. Kids go back to school. People start gearing up for the quote-unquote holiday season. It all happens in the fall and the early winter. Halloween is the first thing coming up that we know of. How many memories do you have of Halloween? What's that feel like to you? Then there's Thanksgiving. And there's even more intense memory around Thanksgiving. And by memory, I literally mean your mental pictures and the emotions that are attached to them. Same thing at Christmas time. But what would it look like to you if you did differently? What would happen if those are really only dates on a calendar? Now, if you're Jewish, you've got feasts associated with mid to late fall. And that's actually when Yeshua was born. It was during the Feast of Booths, wasn't it? The harvest. Yeah, at Sukkot. That's when he was born. He wasn't born in December. So we've just gotten snookered into celebrating a birthday that doesn't even exist at that time, forgetting the time he was born. Look at other times throughout the year. Whenever your birthday is, what do you remember there? How does it feel to you, all those memories? Not saying don't celebrate your birthday. Have at it if you want to, but I quit counting. Long time ago. It's not that interesting anymore. It's interesting when you're six, not when you're 66 or after, say. And Valentine's Day. I remember in elementary school, we would get shoe boxes. This was the deal. You got a shoe box, you cut a slot in the lid of that thing, and then you decorated that shoe box however you wanted to, brought it to school on Valentine's Day, or whenever your last day of school was before Valentine's Day. And people would just stuff your box with Valentine's, and you did the same thing. That just comes out of my memory. I don't celebrate Valentine's Day now, except to tell Barbara I love her. But I do that every day. I'm trying to think of any holiday after that. Sometimes I remember Washington's birthday on February 22nd. Why? Because we caught off school. That's why. God bless George Washington. We didn't have to go to school that day. And then, of course, there's St. Patrick's Day, maybe, would be next. And I never got into St. Patrick's Day. I don't like any part of that. It's just, ugh. I don't even like that whole onus of wearing green. That's just so goofy. Anyhow, go around the calendar. What's next? Easter. Then Memorial Day. Memorial Day, that's when you get out of school. You're done with school, practically. And then, you know, summer starts, and you got 4th of July. Labor Day. Back in school. You go around the calendar and you can see and you can feel, more importantly, how the memories feel that are associated with all these different events, what I call anniversaries, let alone the real anniversaries like your birthday and not your birthday, but if you're married, your wedding anniversary and your children's birthdays and your grandchildren's birthdays. The calendar is just full of occasions that have memory attached, that have emotions attached to those memories that will come up almost without fail. I probably would be safe in saying definitely without fail. And so don't be surprised if you feel differently. We're talking about this toward the end of September, because we can tell it's beginning to look like fall around here and feel like fall. It's cooled off. Anyway, you know what fall looks like and feels like, even if you live in California. But what you might not realize is how much of your activity is governed by the memory of fall, the memory of holidays, and the preparations for them. You might not realize it, but you're running on memory. It reminds me of the scripture, "Give thanks for all things at all times to the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, for the glory of God the Father." Something like that. I'm probably paraphrasing that scripture. I thank God so much of the time, I keep telling Barbara, for all that He's rescued me out of, including these kinds of things. Not to be governed by that, but it takes a conscious choice in the beginning. And even if you're listening to my voice still and we haven't lost you in this discussion, you might not want any part of breaking with your traditions. Fine. That's your business, not mine. Your life is between you and God. All I'm saying is, consider the possibilities. What if you did differently? What if, instead of being driven by these memories, which is really what happens, talking as a doctor now, this is science, this is what happens. Instead of being driven by those memories, make new ones, make different ones. What would the Father want to do today is really the only question to ask, because He's probably not going to send you to Walmart to buy presents. That's probably not what He's going to direct you to do.
The old, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Isn't now, this part of the tradition of the elders? Jesus warned about the tradition of the elders that's made the Word of God no effect.
Yes, but you know, I was just thinking, you know, the Jewish people, they celebrate different festivals or fasts.
Yes.
But they were directed to do that. It's part of what appears in the Mosaic Law. This is what you do, not because it's religious, but because the law was actually a governmental system, a theocracy. So there are these observances that were part of all of that. That's a different matter. Now, once law has been replaced by grace and we operate by the leading of the Holy Spirit, all of that is made unnecessary. And these other traditions that got set up in the first place are not scriptural anyway. There's no observance called Christmas anywhere in the Bible. There's no edict to celebrate. Yeshua said, hey, don't forget to celebrate my birthday every year, would you? And while you're at it, buy lots of things for lots of people. And if you could find a big old pine tree, would you get it out, put it in your living room, and throw strips of aluminum and get all kind of lights on it? That was all pagan.
And that'll be addressed in the chapter that is added to this, Smash the Idols, from the book God is God and We're Not. So we're sending this out. We're doing this early just to protect you. So you can begin rethinking how you're going to handle these holidays.
And yes,
go free.
If not protection, at least a suggestion. This could be a season to do completely differently. Be different. If you want to be different, you got to do different. Sorry, but that's how it works. Because you're not going to feel different automatically, but you will. The minute you decide to do differently, then you will feel differently. And no, a lot of people aren't going to like it. They're not going to appreciate it. And they're going to look at you like you're from Mars. No, you're not. You're just living in a different realm that is, frankly, above all of that frenzy. That's what I notice, especially between, I guess you could say, between Halloween and Christmas. It's frenzied. And the closer you get to Christmas, the more frenzied it becomes.
Paul said, show them a more excellent way.
Yeah. And this is kind of a health aside, but this is also what everybody calls cold and flu season.
If you agree with that garbage.
Well, that's why I'm saying it. That's why I'm bringing it out. Because that's just another quote-unquote tradition that you prepare for, and so your body prepares to be assaulted. And it doesn't have to be. You don't have to be. There's nothing magical except the fact that the seasons do change. We're going from warm to cold, from moist to dry. as far as the air quality, colors change.
But is it also because all the energy that is consumed with these holiday seasons we're talking about shuts down the immune system because the body's in emergency mode, wondering how it's going to buy all these presents and who's going to be where and how to do the obeisance to all the tradition gods, that it shuts down the immune system so it's more susceptible to getting germs?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it like you just said it, but you're right. It doesn't just shut it down. It preoccupies it. Because now it's fighting a memory. It's fighting a thought process. It's fighting an emotion that is not health-enhancing at all. It's quite the opposite of that. But going back to what I was saying is, this is what you would call a contractive time of year. Mm. Everything goes into a kind of a dormancy. The trees do it. Animals do it. They're preparing to go into dormancy. Well, biologically, so are we. Our food choices will change. We're not going to eat watermelon come October. Maybe not even in September. You are, but I'm not.
They can find them somewhere.
Barbara, there's nothing usual about you. Thank God. There's nothing common about you.
I thought that was boring.
So this contractive time of year also has memory attached to it. It's just a factor to bear in mind. When you feel differently, there is always a reason for feeling differently. What is it? What's going on at this time of year? And I guarantee you, most of it will be coming out of past memory, not present time. We read a scripture not too long ago in our morning magicals about seasons and how it is. Yeshua talked about it. How is it that you know the seasons and read the signs to know when it's good to go fishing or not, and you know when the seasons are changing and what to do, but you can't recognize the seasonal changes in the spirit? I don't mean seasonal as in the spirit changes in the fall. I mean the seasonal changes in the way the spirit is moving. So much of the time, I look at how things were in the first century. You know, from the time Yeshua came, died, was resurrected, and the apostles began their respective ministries, particularly Paul's, and you look at what they never paid any attention to, that somehow in Christendom, all of these traditions sprang up. None of them sprang up until after the first century, after the last apostle, John, died. Somehow, during that first 300 years or so before the Council of Nicaea, somehow these things got started. Somehow these traditions began. And who in the world thought up Easter with a bunny is beyond me. I still don't understand that. I'm sure I could read about it in the history books, but I don't care that much. Sorry. It's interesting to be talking about this stuff at this time, because we have just officially moved out of summer and into fall. Isn't that funny? I'm now remembering why this conversation began that I wasn't even thinking about, but this is the time when we have moved from summer into fall. This is an anniversary. Now, by the time you hear it, it'll be past September 22nd, but I'm recording this. I didn't even know this when we started. We're recording this, Barbara and I, together on September 22nd. This is the... That is so funny. This is... This is the actual date. Oh my gosh, this is the autumnal or fall equinox. It's probably yesterday. So this is the first official day of fall. Isn't that funny? I never even realized it, but obviously I can feel the change in season. So interesting. So don't think you're not affected by all of this. Of course we are. All of us are. We're biological. We can't not be. You know, we are responding to the environment out there because we take everything in sensorially. There's a big word. Through our senses, we take everything in and we adapt physically to all these changes. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a survival response. It's supposed to be there. All we're doing this morning is, if by any means to prepare you for what's coming, most of which is driven by tradition, Christian tradition, and most of it, except for Thanksgiving, most of it is pagan in origin. Halloween is, All Hallows Eve, that's all pagan. Christmas, forgive me, it's all the celebrations, the sights, the sounds, the lights, the all that stuff that we probably all grew up with and have done. That's all pagan in its origin. None of it is authored by the Father. So what if, I'll circle back around to something I said earlier. What if we did differently? What if you honored Yeshua's birthday during the Feast of Booths when he really was born? And what we should do is, when that time comes, we'll share a story called The Birth Revisited. When I first learned of this, we read this over the Christmas holiday, right before the actual calendar Christmas. I think it would be good not to wait that long, but to do it around the time of Yeshua's birth, because it's really astonishing. When you hear this, you'll be amazed at how much detail from the Old Testament was present when Yeshua was born that everybody seemed to miss or ignored. And how much of Christian tradition, in terms of our story about this Christmas Eve and the birth of Christ, how much of that is totally inaccurate? And what is accurate, I pray it'll blow your mind, just like it did mine. The first time we read it, my goodness. We were all just astonished when we went through this. Look at all of the signs. Look at all that was prepared that no one paid any attention to. It always amazed me. How is it that the people who were looking for their Messiah for generations and generations missed all the signs that were there? So let's not miss the same signs. He is going to return, and it's probably sooner. Well, you know, you always get in trouble. I'm not predicting any kind of time frame, but I'm watching. And let me just give you a heads up of what I've seen recently. Israel just signed peace deals and trade deals and normalization of relations deals with Bahrain and United Arab Emirates. Historic. And other countries are going to join in on this because really they have so much to offer one another, and especially Israel. It's amazing what Israel has done in their own land. Their science is so advanced. Anyhow, let me not get sidetracked with that. The point is that they are signifying peace differently from before, because Israel didn't have to give up any territory first time. So as other countries join in, just watch. The events of the second coming of Christ are all centered in the Middle East. So this is just, to me, the next sign that has occurred that will probably increase in its significance, because when it happens that they say, peace, peace, and there is no peace, then comes upon them sudden destruction. Wherever that scripture is, might be in Revelation, I don't know. But keep your eyes peeled on the Middle East, because these deals that were recently struck together with, or in the presence of, and because of the intervention of the United States under President Trump, these are historic agreements, and there will be more. And it's interesting that they are also happening as we change from summer to fall on the earth. You know, it's fascinating. I never thought about this before. I wonder if the Lord will return during the season of his original birth, or whether he'll return during the season of his original ascension into heaven. Because the angel said he will return in like manner as you see him. Well, I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm curious about it because the Father honors different seasons. He was born around the festival of Sukkot, the festival of booths, it's the harvest festival, and he was crucified just ahead of Passover. And he ascended just 40 days ahead of Pentecost. So the Father works within the seasons or the celebrations, really, that he dictated, that he directed. So this is kind of a little bit of a rambling conversation, and I hope you stayed with it all. And I hope that you'll be richly blessed during this time when everything on the earth begins to, I should say, when everything in the northern hemisphere begins to contract while everything in the southern hemisphere begins to expand, because we run oppositely. So those of you listening in the Southern Hemisphere, forgive me, because I'm in the Northern Hemisphere. This is what Barbara and I together are seeing at this time of year. You'll have to wait about 6 months for it, because you're on the other part of the cycle. So Lord bless you all through these celebrations that are coming up. And if by any means you can do something differently, give yourself a break from the frenzy and the stress, really, mental, emotional, physiological, financial stress surrounding these celebrations, these quote-unquote holidays, I pray you do. I pray you can. And if you get in trouble and wonder, what in the world do I do? How do I do this? Just pick up the phone and call us. We'll be happy to help you. It won't make it any easier for the rest of your family or friends, but they're on their own. And if you have young children, okay, we get it. I understand. Everybody around them is doing it. How can you not? Yeah, but what if you did? What if you did? What if you gave them Christ? What if you gave them the story of Yeshua instead of a quote-unquote celebration of Christ Mass, Christmas, like everybody else? If you're going to churches, probably not going to happen too well. Not going to work too well. Because churches are just as caught up in this whole, God bless them, this whole pagan perpetuation. If you knew the real history behind Christmas, you'd never celebrate it again, because it was not pretty, especially for Christians, which is so wild that Christians adopted the holiday. That was absolutely horrendous for Christians as it began. Oh my goodness. Not even go into it, because it's really bloody and horrible. So, without dragging you down any further, I pray to lift you up in the Lord today, in thanksgiving for all he has done and taken us through, and all that he can yet deliver us from, and bring us into his peace and presence in the celebration of him, period. Giving God glory, raising holy hands, and speaking to him and singing to him in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to him continually for everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Giving thanks for all things. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I may have mixed a couple of scriptures in there, but if we just do that, then anything else that interrupts that needs to go away, needs to be left alone. And I'll say one last thing that we've looked at many times, where Paul says, walk worthily of the calling. Not worthy, worthily. You're already worthy, as we've discussed several times. You're already worthy, obviously. Christ died for you, and the Father has justified you. Walking worthily is, now that he's done all that and saved you, meaning given you the expectation of the deliverance of your body from corruption to incorruption and so on, because he's done all of that, walk like he's done all that. Behave that way. Speak that way. That's all that means, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You can't behave as the rest of the world is behaving and do that. That's not walking worthily. That's just being like everybody else. Walk worthily. Walk in the footsteps that he has prepared. If you don't know what those are, ask him. Or if it helps, ask, what would the Lord himself be doing? What steps would he take if he were I? So I think this is a good place to stop. God bless all of you. Thanks for listening. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh light up his face toward you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift his face to you and appoint peace for you. Amen and amen. See you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.